Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Teflon Han.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein, Layla Rahimi.
Down the floor, Kobe with a right-handed power dunk. I'm going home.
Kobe White to the rim.
Kobe don't do it like that. Who's saying Kobe don't like the dunk?
Oh, my goodness. And the entire Bulls team pops up.
Kobe White just sucked the gravity out of the building.
And he just posterized Sammy Johnson.
Everybody just needs to calm down.
Tim is swinging a lot more first pitches this year. Pineda comes home with a first pitch that Tim drills to left field. And welcome to the ballpark. Bring him home 1-0.
I think you and I set that up pretty well.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
Pasta for everybody.
What pasta?
You know what? I got the pasta.
Spaghetti dinner.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon.
And it's a bounty of pasta.
From just the grocery store.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Goodness, that was filthy.
Quit yelling. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. No, keep yelling. That's fine. Bernstein and Rahimi with you on a happy, sunny Friday. Another lovely day in Chicago. Ian Happ is going to join us in just a few minutes. We've got some fun coming your way at 10, talking about the changes to NFL uniform numbers. Midday Midway at 10:40. Jason Benetti at 11. We got some Lucas Giolito stuff, some introspective stuff to play for you, and a little bit of Bulls talk as well. 312-644-6767. That's the Score listener line. It's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you want to send us an email, please do. Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. The text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein Rahimi. She is at Layla Rahimi. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Don't forget to download the Odyssey app. That way you can stream the Score on your mobile devices. You can interact on Facebook, or you can join all the cool kids and the youngsters on the Twitch feed, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. That is up now and live. I am looking at this camera as we speak, and there's a chat that goes on there, and we put links in the chat to things we're talking about, and just keeps you up to speed in multimedia fashion. It is Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertz who direct that. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer, and Jordan Malley is on the board. Fun day watching the White Sox yesterday and seeing a team that is finding different ways to win games. I hope they can sustain what they're doing.
That was a series, man. And for every offensive mess that was the game the night before, we saw, I think, a very competitive and at times pretty stressful contest between the Sox and the Twins yesterday. And I don't know about you, but I was a little surprised after Liam Hendricks threw as many pitches as he did the night before that we ended up seeing him. But they needed him, and he talks about how he was ready, and he was ready. He delivered. That was fun to watch. That was a little a little stressful at times, as you and I know, Dan, as we were texting back and forth, watching some calamities happen in the infield. But people delivered, they got the job done, and it was a 4-2 win that had insurance runs. And now they move forward with a doubleheader today that if you're on the opposing Royals team, I don't know that you want to face Michael Kopech and Lucas Giolito in the same day.
Yeah, it's probably no fun, but it's the same thing the Dodgers were saying to the Cubs when they were trotting out Clayton Kershaw and Trevor Bauer. So we know that baseball does things you don't expect it to do. I will say this, too. I know it's fun. It makes for a great visual. But Jose Abreu, you're a 34-year-old man. You're not particularly athletically flexible, as we saw when we had the little adventure over by the netting the other day. Don't give your mean Mercedes piggyback rides. I think a simple business handshake, a high five, if you want to give him a big smooch on the forehead, that's all fine. But I don't need the 34-year-old first baseman lifting what is listed at 245 pounds. And that's probably from when he was in sixth grade. There's no way your mean Mercedes is 245. It's just something. The last thing this team needs is some kind of injury, either to Abreu because he's lifting your mean Mercedes on his back, or the two of them tumble over and they both fall in a ravine. I just think bad things can happen, because bad things do happen and there's silly injuries here. Just give him a fist bump and be done with it.
Where's the ravine?
I don't know. It would appear somewhere. A giant crevasse.
Just
would
a moat
open
opens up and gyrates. Yes. Somewhere. Yes. The lights flicker, and then a monster comes out of it. I will say this: I have no room to talk, because remember that time I was like, "Hey, I'm really happy and thankful that Luis Robert's healthy."
Yeah, I do remember that time.
Yeah, so I have nothing to say. Did you also hear Steve Stone when we're talking about weight and listed? No better example than Michael Pineda, and he goes optimistically listed at 280.
It's like when you go and get your driver's license redone, and they're kind of, you know, I remember they give you a break on some things. I think the last time was when my most recent driver's license was the first time my hair was technically listed as gray, and she's like, yeah, you've crossed over now. You can't fudge that and say you have black hair anymore. You have gray hair on your driver's license, official. And I always, my weight has always been around what I think it is, because it's been a long, I haven't been to a gym in well over a year. I used to weigh myself every day.
But I have a home scale.
I used to weigh myself every day, and I think it made me crazy, and I think I'm much happier. I haven't done it in a year, and just because I haven't. I've been to the gym, and I let my gym membership lapse, and I do all my workouts at home, and I feel okay.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. But I, too, would like to be optimistically listed on my weight. And instead, I was truthful. But was I truthful to the state of Illinois about my height? Nope. 5'4". Am I? No, I'm not.
I thought you were going to finish that sentence by saying you wanted to be optimistically listed at 280. And I'm thinking, no, that's a different kind of aspiration. We're going to find out how Ian Happ is feeling. He joins us next on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period.
Rich is in Lakeview. Hey, Rich.
Morning, Rich.
Hey, Mully. Hey, Hall. I just want to say I love listening to you guys. I used to listen to the other side of town. And then thank God for the producer over there who hooked you guys up, because this is the most educated, smoothest, comedic show with no hot takes in the city. And I really enjoy listening to you fellas, number one.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station and Odyssey station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Ian Happ, outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
That's why playing at Wrigley is the best. Chicago and the Cubs faithful, they are incredible. They keep us up every single day.
In the air, center field. Alford back. Turn in, left it,
Ian Happ.
Get out the tape measure for Ian Happ.
What would you think about trying to do a quarantine coffee?
Dinger dollars for everybody, Ian Happ. We'll touch them all.
Hair looking so good.
Just crazy.
So good.
Way back, gone! Ian Happ tight!
lights up the game.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
I don't want to be here who complains about things, but first of all, pitchers, they control the pace. They control everything. They get to, you're playing defense up there hitting. Then we have 4 o'clock starts, 5 o'clock starts with shadows. You get to the summer, the first couple innings are in shadows. You play a 1 o'clock game, the last couple innings are in shadows. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. When we have a 4 o'clock Fox game, I want to fight whoever made the schedule. Can't see anything. Like, it's absolutely bananas that they're like, oh yeah, you're judged the same. You get judged the same as a hitter who has to play shadow games. It would be like, hey, the Lakers get to play in the Staples Center and the Knicks have to play in Harlem on a double run.
Yeah.
But we're going to judge them the same.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Rahimi.
Absolutely bananas.
On the score.
Ian Happ is on Twitter at IHAP_1. He's on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue in Melrose Park, or at APNissan.com. How are we healing up, Ian?
Good. Doing really well. First day I can come back off the DL today, so we're going to get out there to the park, do some testing, and kind of see where it's at, but pretty close. Definitely feeling good for this weekend.
Yeah, we saw that you hit on the field on Tuesday. So how did that feel once you were trying to get back into the swing of things? No pun intended, but kind of pun intended.
Yeah, it felt a lot better. Kind of the weekend was a little disappointing and had to take some steps back and kind of rest. And then once I was able to get back out there on Tuesday, Wednesday, Nico and I hit on Wednesday morning as well. Those 2 days felt really good. Wednesday even better than Tuesday. And so those are positive signs. And really felt like I was moving in the right direction, which was a welcome change from how I felt last weekend.
When we talked a week ago, you were encouraged that you might be able to play in the Pirates series. And then shortly after our show ended, after we talked, we saw that you went on the DL. How did that exactly go down? Because I know that it's difficult, and you've talked about how players, no matter what, you could have, you know, a machete sticking out of your head, and you're going to say, I'm good, Skip. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm ready to go. But at some point, they're going to say, you know, this is, we know better for you, and we're going to shut you down.
Yeah, I think that was a case of just trying to be super optimistic and mind over matter. And I do believe that I could have pinch hit in that series and kind of helped that way. But I thought I was going to be in a place where I could, at least by the end of the weekend, have some time in the outfield and be able to run balls down. It didn't. Went out for BP, was running around trying to catch fly balls, couldn't get myself up to speed. Tried to run the bases, couldn't get myself up to speed there either. And at that point, you know, Rossi and I had a conversation and kind of said, you know, I want to be able to do this, but I don't think I'm going to be able to help the team as much as what you guys need right now. So difficult. That was the first time in my big league career I've had to go on the DL. And, you know, that's always something that pride yourself on as a player is just staying healthy and being available. And so to have to take that step back and take 10 days is a difficult decision.
I mean, it's going to happen. Like, you're going to end up on the DL at some point in your career, as long as you want to play. And I think you mentioned something that deserves to be discussed, because unfortunately, the idea of pinch hitting and being available when you're not doing well physically is what happened to Chris Bryant, as an example, in a way. Just hard luck when he's available to pinch hit after illness this week and then gets hit in the hand.
Yeah, I mean, difficult to see that, I think, for all of us. Just that, you know, him coming in the game trying to give us a big at bat there. Obviously, that pitch running up and in and hitting him square in the wrist. I think he's doing better. I think he's feeling all right. And you know, hopefully he avoided anything too serious, because that's a scary spot. A lot of tiny bones over there.
Yeah, I think we know. They said that once you got to Detroit, you'd learn more. So are we ruling out a fracture now?
I haven't talked to him. I can't speak to it. I haven't with the off day yesterday, I haven't had direct communication with him. But I know after he came out of the game the other day, he was feeling good. And usually guys feeling better, I mean, not like he wasn't jumping for joy after getting popped in the wrist. But the guys generally know he would have been in a little bit more pain or a little bit more distraught, I think, if it was something that was pretty serious. Guys pretty in tune with their body, and he felt like he was going to be all right.
We played a cut of the podcast, and I had to giggle when I heard you say playing defense against pitchers as hitters, because in theory, that shouldn't be like that. So please expand on that when you talked about it. I know what you mean, but it was a really funny way to phrase it.
Yeah, there's times up there when, you know, either guys got really just nasty stuff and you don't know what's coming, you're kind of in between, or you know, that we were talking about the batter's eyes and the shadows, and you feel like you can't see the ball. You feel like you're playing offense or you're playing defense on offense. You feel like you're up there just trying to swat at it and put it in play as opposed to really being aggressive and offensive. I think that's where the game is today. There's some points when it looks like the guys on offense are playing defense up there.
I was laughing at that. People should know. There's a reason why this podcast became a hitter's airing of grievances, because Dakota Mekas, who represents the pitching side sometimes and pushes back against, will sometimes advocate on behalf of pitchers, wasn't there due to internet issues. So this sort of fed on itself for a while. It's like, and another thing, there's the Golden Dome in Iowa, and then there's the shadows, and then there's some of these nasty pitchers that even our pitching robot can't properly emulate. And I thought, wait, pitching robot? I want to know more about the robotic pitching machine at Wrigley, in which you can input spin data, angle, and velocity, and create sort of a simulation of an actual pitcher's repertoire.
Yeah, it was a nice airing of grievance. It was nice that Dakota gave us a chance to really just be a hitter's podcast for a week. We have a pitching machine, you know, the old Jugs machines was just two wheels spinning, and then you had Megatron, whatever you want to call the other one, that's three wheels spinning, so you can kind of put it to different angles. But you would change the spin on the wheels, the speed of the spin on the wheels to create pitches. And it was all just guessing. And now we have, from all of the information we have, the TrackMan and the Rapsodo, you have actual information on the pitcher's spin. You have spin efficiency, you have the actual vertical, horizontal breaks, and you have spin rates. So new pitching machines give you the ability to kind of plug in those numbers and recreate a pitcher's arsenal, and let me tell you that in the cage, popping out of a machine with no timing, I would invite anyone who has ever watched a game on television and said, why didn't he swing at that, or what's he looking at, to come in, stand in on Maximus Prime there in the cage, because that thing it makes everybody look like Cy Young.
I was going to ask what you call it. Is that the accepted term, Maximus Prime?
No, there's no official name yet. I'll get back to you guys if that pitching machine gets named yet. I don't know. I think there's a lot of cuss words going at it. I don't know if there's any specific name.
I like Maximus Prime or Shove or something, but you mentioned there were two Dodgers pitchers that were so nasty that even Maximus couldn't properly impersonate them. Who?
I will not divulge that information, but yeah, there was a couple guys that it couldn't get to the actual numbers that they were popping up on the screen, which was pretty crazy. So we were kind of looking at some of those things. There are some eye popping numbers, and that's what the game is right now. There's some guys who are doing stuff with the baseball that's really incredible that we haven't seen before, and as hitters, we're just trying to figure out how we can best combat that and make some adjustments.
I would like to nominate Shovatron as the name for the pitching robot. But additionally, this also makes me want to ask you the question, since you're facing a pitching robot that does a pretty good job, then do you think we should have robotic strike zones?
That's a good question. I think that testing of the automatic strike zone would be interesting. You know, I'd like to know more about how they would do it and exactly how it would be computed. I always think it sounds good in theory, and then you wonder about big sweeping curveballs and heaters at the top of the zone nipping it. Is it the ball just has to nip the zone? Is it a certain percentage of the ball has to be in the zone? Every stadium has a little bit of a different, you know, I know most stadiums are TrackMan, but are we relying on TrackMan data, or is there another platform? I think there's just a lot of questions, and I would love to hear some experts talk about it and talk about how we can make it as accurate as possible and as fair for the entire game. Because I do think there's a lot of, as a hitter, you know, there's a lot of pitches that you see throughout the course of the year whether they're in big situations or just like a 1-1 count changing the at-bat, that you feel like you had a really good discipline on and changed the at-bat not in your favor. So, I think I have a pretty good eye, and I might be one of the guys that would benefit from it, but I'd be interested to see exactly how they would go about it.
For the record, I will second the motion for the nomination of Shovatron for that particular pitching machine. I think it's got a great little ring to it. Also on the podcast, first of all, I couldn't believe that it was the one-year anniversary of the Mother's Day show, which seemed like yesterday we were talking about that, the interviews that you were all doing. The fact that it's a year is just mind-blowing to me. But as you were discussing the minor league life, and here's Dakota, he can't even jump on because he doesn't have internet yet, and they say you get 3 days in the hotel and you're on your own, and I did not know the arcane rules about the team not necessarily depending on when you're called up and whether or not they have to pay your rent in AAA and all that. And these sort of ascetic, the life of a monk that you live with a little mattress on the floor and you're projecting, you don't have a TV. So you get a cardboard box onto which you're projecting your computer to watch television. Just amazing to me. And just after I listened to that, I saw the Houston Astros of all teams have decided they're going to provide furnished apartments for everybody up and down their minor league system. It sounds like a little nothing. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. That's these guys, everybody who's in the minor leagues, especially before AAA, that whole paycheck is probably going to rent at least one of the two a month. So, If they're providing furnished apartments and paying guys rent, I mean, that's absolutely massive. And I think it's a good example of what can be done in other cities. I think the connections that minor league teams have in cities is really, really great. You know, these organizations are huge for the cities they're in. They're a huge entertainment source. Every place that I was in the minor leagues, the people in the city, the people around the organization really valued having the team and valued the players and the summers that they spent there. So I think that's a great example, and I'd love to see it in more places going forward.
Well, and I don't know that necessarily people know, even in AAA, that there are teams, fan bases. Like, I covered the Round Rock Express, and they did the pass the hat, where if a guy hit a home run, people would put cash in the hat because they knew those players needed it.
Yeah, guys are trying to trying to chase their dream. And a lot of guys who, you know, weren't fortunate enough to get big draft bonuses and have kind of been living off that and trying to make their way to the major leagues. It's just, as soon as guys start to have families and lives and the expenses add up, it gets really tough to continue playing baseball on the minor league paycheck. And with all the other things that go into it, with travel around the country, with finding apartments and mattresses and monitors and just trying to live a somewhat normal life when you're on the road, that's all those things add up. And I have a lot of respect for those guys that you hear about who grinded out for 10-12 years in the minor leagues and finally made it up, because it's a very, very difficult lifestyle.
And now,
and have you seen the account Minor League Grinders on Instagram? I think that's a pretty good example.
Yeah, I think everybody should take a look at that. Spend 5 minutes looking through some of those posts. They're really funny.
Being in the position that you're in now to give back through Connect Roasters and other aspects, it's something I know is important to you. Is anything to announce? Anything new going on, new availability of stuff, and as we pursue more Dinger dollars?
Yeah, we're super excited about Dom's Market in Chicago that's opening, I believe, June 8th is the date. Quarantine Coffee, Connect, all of our lines going to be in there, and we're super excited for that. We're going to be doing some stuff around June 8th and the opening weekend to get some people in and hopefully see a few people, maybe some sign bags in there people can go find. But that's our latest addition to the Morale family. We're super excited about that. And what a coincidence, Dom, the director of Morale, and Dom's Market. So I think he'll have some fun with that one, too.
And the NFL told their veterans that they could change their numbers. So we've had a lot of fun talking about number changes. Why did you choose your number?
Great question. I wore 5 in college, and Albert was wearing 5 when I came up. I wore 1 in high school, and Gary Jones, our third base coach, was wearing 1. So I kind of was looking for a number, didn't exactly know what I would wear. And then I'd worn 8 as a little kid, and 8 was available. It just felt right. It felt like that was a number that I would feel comfortable in. I've always liked the single digits, and so went with 8 and been really lucky for a nice single digit, and the 8 feels good.
Ian, thanks as always. Look forward to seeing you back on the field.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That's Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs. He feels good in number 8. We had Damian Williams is going to be number 8 as well on the Bears. And Eddie Jackson is changing from 39 to 4?
4. Yeah. Javon Wims is going to be 15. And Artie Burns is going to be 25.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about that, about the significance of some of these uniform numbers. I feel like there are some people who might be hardcore traditionalists, at least in the NFL, that are going to get confused with some of these collegiate numbers. But I have just a question, just sort of off the top of my head here. If you at any point in sports have an obscure story about a reason for being a certain number, let's hear it. 312-644-6767. We'll talk about that on The Score.
This is Ian Happ, your center fielder from the north side. Connect Roasters and I are happy to announce the Home Run Club, a coffee subscription for baseball fans. You'll get freshly roasted coffee shipped to your door on the first of every month, access to exclusive game-used merch, personal notes from me, and most importantly, when I hit a home run, you'll get $5 towards coffee and merch on connectroasters.com. Our goal is to have 1,000 members enjoying great coffee and giving back to the community. For more information, go to connectroasters.com. or homerunclub.coffee. Together, we can make a difference, one cup at a time.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode, and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.